Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Zayin, and Yitzhak Hashem will also do Nun Ches Omer Aleph to help us get through some of the days of Sukkot when we can't do the Daf on the tape. Now, we are beginning at the Mishnah. We're already halfway down on the Daf, so we begin at the Mishnah right in the middle of the Daf, Nun Zayin Omer Aleph. And the Mishnah begins, Nosnin Karpaf L'ir. A Karpaf, we've explained previously, is an area that is normally adjacent to a house. It can be enclosed l'shem dira, or it can be a larger area enclosed l'shem dira, not l'shem dira, but here we're using in terms of karpaf as an open space outside a city. As Rashi says, washes are all the way down at the bottom, three lines on the bottom. Kishabal limdot atumim, when you're measuring the tum around the city, as we've already alluded to a number of times, ein modedim in achoma. We don't say 2,000 amas in every direction from the wall of the city itself, but we give an additional space of 70 and 2/3 amma. Elamarchik ayin amma, 70 amma, v'shirayim. The shirayim is the way we refer to 2/3 of an amma. Kichotzer ha-mishkan, and this is based upon the size of the mishkan. And you measure from the 70 and 2/3 amma. What does it mean by the size of the Mishkan? So the Mishkan was a length and width of 100 by 50 amma, and that made the total square amma of 5,000 square amma. This is the base Sosayim that we talked about much earlier in the Masechta. And if you put this rectangular 100 by 50 area into a square with the area being 5,000 square amma, you'll get the sides being 70 and 2/3 amma by 70 and 2/3 amma. That's a slight approximation. It's actually an irrational number that's going to be the two sides, and we just use 70 2/3. That's why we use the lashon of ayin amma v'shrayim, and a little bit extra, 70 and a little bit extra, 70 and 2/3 amma. So that's where we get this 70 and 2/3 amma outside the city. The Gemara will explain exactly where we have an allusion to this from the psukim. Again, according to most, this is all dinim derabbanon, and the rabbis just took this as an asmachta from the psukim. So, we give this additional space for the niceness of the city, the beautification of the city, outside every city. Divrei Rav Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim omrim lo amru karpaf elo bein shtei ayaros. We had this the other day. The Chachamim's opinion is, it's only if you have two cities that are near each other, and they need to have a little space around the city for usage and for practical reasons. So if these two cities are so close to each other that they're going to be within either 70 and 2/3 amma, or we'll see 141 and 1/3 amma. We'll see this is a machlokus in a moment. So if they're too close to each other, then we view them not as two separate cities, but as one city. And therefore, the people in the left city, so to say, they're start their tum to the right, not at the end of the left city, but all the way at the end of the right city, and vice versa for the city on the right. Now, we'll explain this more in a moment. Now here the Mishnah tells us that this is going to be according to the opinion that im yesh lazu shivim amma v'shirayim v'lazu shivim amma v'shirayim, that each of these two cities needs its own 70 and 2/3 amma for it to be considered a separate city. But if each of them has less than 70 and 2/3 amma, even 70 and 1/3 amma, the other one has 70 and 1/3 amma, so then they're considered like one city because there's not enough space in between them, as the Gemara is going to tell us. Then in this situation, osa karpa v'shteim lios echad, this karpaf, which is less than 141 and 1/3 amma, twice the 70 and 2/3 amma, will merge these two cities and make them into one large city, considered as dalet amos, for a person whose tum starts, his focal point starts anywhere in the city, and therefore these two cities will be considered like one dalet amos for the person, and he'll start his tum to the east and to the west at the extreme ends of each city. The Mishnah continues and says, the same halacha applies, Zuchain Gimel Kfarim HaMishulashim. If you have three cities that are arranged in a Mishulash type of a fashion, the Gemara will have two different explanations for what it means, Mishulash. It will either be in a straight line, or we'll see it in a triangle. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain the two different ways. But in any event, the Mishnah tells us, if you have these three Kfarim, these three cities that are arranged in this fashion, straight line or in a triangle, so then, if between the two outer ones, and we'll see it means between the outer one and the middle one, if there is a space of 141 and 1/3 amma, the twice the 70 and 2/3 amma, so then also the middle city will merge the two outer cities and make all three cities viewed in this regard as being one dalet amos, one city, and the tum of the people in the city on the left will be the tum for all of the people from the left, all three cities, and the tum of the people on the right will be for all three cities to the right. And again, we'll see this as we get to the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, where do we get this idea that you have 70 and 2/3 amma, that you have this karpat that we give either to an individual city or to two cities in between them? Minohani Mili, where is this derived from? Now, the, again, understanding, as I mentioned, of Tumim, most of this is Dirabanan. There is an opinion that says Daraisa. But according to the majority opinion, which is how we paskin, the Tumim or Dirabanan, so then this is all an Asmachta. So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, the Amar Kras, based upon the Pesuk from the Orei Halavim, it says there, Mikir Ha'ir Vachutza. Now this is an extra word. It didn't have to say Vachutza. So what does it mean, Vachutza? Of course it means from the outer part of the wall. It doesn't mean from the inner part of the wall you're measuring inside. Of course it means you're measuring outside. So why do we say Mikir Ha'ir Vachutza? That's extra words. So Amar Torah, Tein Chutza V'achakach Mendoed. So after you get to the wall of the city, add on this amount, which we learn now from the chotzer of the Mishkan, should be a 5,000 square amma area, and the amount of one side of that square is 72/3 amma. Add that on, and then v'yachakach medod, and then count the tchum of the city. Now, the chacham momrim lo amru. In our Mishnah, we said that the chacham said that this giving of the karpaf is only when you have two cities, and only then do you have a karpaf, but otherwise an individual city doesn't have its own karpaf, and this wouldn't apply. So Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna and Chia Bar Rav have a machlokis that we had previously. So Rav Huna Amar, Nostin karpaf lezu, v'karpaf lezu. According to the Chachamim, when it says that you give the cities a karpaf, it means you give each city a karpaf. So if there's a distance between them that is less than 141 and one-third amma, twice 70 and two-thirds amma, they're viewed as one city. But that's only according to Rav Huna. Chia Barav, Omar, no, karpaf echad lishtam, that you only give one karpaf to both of them. In other words, only have 70 and two-thirds amma between them to combine them. If it's more than 70 and two-thirds amma, albeit less than 141 and one-third amma, they're considered two separate cities. So Chia Barav is a more machmir opinion as to how much space you're allowed to have between the two cities, and Rav Huna is the more lenient opinion. And we had this machlokas previously. And in fact, the Gemara says, Tanan, we had learned in our Mishnah, the Chachamim Omrim, Lo Amru Karpaf, Ela Bein Beis Ayaros, that this idea of Karpaf, singular, implying 70 and two-thirds amma, is only mentioned in regards to two cities. In regards to a city by itself, there is no karpaf, but it says the loshem singular, implying, like Chia Bar Rav, that it's only 70 and two-thirds amma between them. Isn't this Tiyuf the Rav Huna who says that there's 2 times 70 and two-thirds, 141 and one-third amma? So, isn't it a kasha on Rav Huna's opinion? Tiyuf the Rav Huna? So Rav Huna responds, no, Amalach Rav Huna. In fact, it's a raya to me. My karpaf, when it says karpaf here, it means Torah's karpaf. It means the idea of a karpaf. But, ula olam, karpaf lezu, the karpaf lezu. The concept of karpaf is applied when you have two cities near each other, giving each of them the 70 and two-thirds amma. And in fact, it's a raya to me. And hochanami mistavra. And look at the words carefully. Midiktani seifa, because it says in the Mishnah's end, im yesh lezu ayin amma vishirayim, vilezu ayin amma vishirayim, osa karpaf lishteyim liyosechad. It seems to say, beferish, exactly like me, Rav Huna says, that each of them has to have 70 and two-thirds amma. And therefore, the total is 141 and one-third amma, exactly like my shita. Shema minah. This is a good raya. And in fact, it's such a good raya, Gemara says, Leimatev etiyufta dechia barav. So it's such a good raya, it should be etiyufta dechia barav. So Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Amalo chia barav would answer, we turn to the Omid Beis. This only is according to the opinion of Hamani Rav Meir. This is only according to the opinion of Rav Meir, who says that each city gets its own separate karpaf. So according to Rav Meir, it's 72/3. But according to the Chachamim, no. This din only applies when you have two cities, and in fact, according to them, you'd only be entitled to 70 and two-thirds between the two cities. It's only Rav Meir who says each city gets the 70 and two-thirds, regardless of whether two cities are present or not, and therefore, even if two cities are present, each one gets its own 70 and two-thirds. So Chia Bar Rav would have to state that this statement is not according to everybody. This statement is only according to Rav Meir. More questions is, though. Rav Meir, if it's Rav Meir, so we already learned it. Why is he telling it to us a second time? Hotoni L'Reisha, we already said at the beginning of the Mishnah, no sin karpaf l'ir, div Rav Meir. Rav Meir says every city gets 72/3. Why would we think it should make a difference whether it's a city alone or whether it's two cities near each other? Why would Rav Meir repeat it? Gemara says, no, he has to repeat it. There, in fact, is a chiddush over here by repeating it that we wouldn't know if he only told it in either of the two places. If he only told it to us in the Reisha, we wouldn't know it in the Seifa. And if he only told it to us in the Seifa, he wouldn't know it in the Reisha. Why is that? Dimi ahi, if we only had the Reisha, if we only had the first statement that Rav Meir said that a city, every city gets its own karpaf, you know what? I would have said, Hav amina, chad lechada, v'chad letarte. There's one karpaf given, whether it's one city or two cities. Each city gets a karpath. And here, city on the left, let's say, would get its karpath. The city on the right would get its karpath, but they're the same karpath. And it's just 70 and two-thirds amma. Who would say that each one gets its own separate karpath? If we only had the reisha, I would say there's 70 and two-thirds amma under all situations. Chad l'chadda, v'chadda tarti. It doesn't make a difference whether it's one city or two cities. There's just 70 and two-thirds amma. Therefore, kamash balon, he has to tell us the sefer, the tarte, the latarte, tre yavinale. Therefore, he has to tell us the sefer that if there are two cities, each city gets its own 70 and two-thirds amma for the total of 141 and one-third amma. So just tell me the sefer. Yashmin Mahacha, just tell me the sefer with the two cities. You know why? There you have to tell it to me, Mishum de Dechika Tashbishisayu. Because in the sefer, it's difficult. The city needs its own 72-thirds amma. If two cities are using the same 72-thirds amma, they're not really going to get a benefit from it. There's too much activity going on over there. It's going to be too busy, too trafficky. And that's why in that situation, when it's two cities, they can't use the same 72-thirds amma. And that's why it has to tell me it over there. I will hasam, but in the reisha, when you're dealing with a city that has nothing else nearby, who says you get 72-thirds amma? There's nothing around them. So therefore, maybe they get nothing. I will hasam, delo dechiko tashmisayu. There is no pressure there. So it's totally open. There's no city nearby. You know what? I might have said, if there's not two cities, exactly like the chacham hold, then there is no concept of karpath. That's why, emalo, I would say that without this pressure of the two cities, an individual city doesn't get a karpath. Oh, kamash lon, sricha, Rav Meir has to tell us, no, his opinion is different than the Chacham. He says that if there's an individual city alone, it gets its own karpath, irregardless. Now, the Gemara continues, says, we learn in our Mishnah, here's the case where we had, v'chein shlosha kfarim ha-mishuloshim. If you have three cities, you have city number A, city number B, and city number C. Now, we said there's two ways to look at this. Right now, we just have these three cities, and the Mishnah said, "Im yesh bein shnayim hachitzonim, if the two outer ones, A and C, have me'ah v'arba'im yachas amma u'shlish, osem tzoi eshloshdan lios echad." So if there's only the two karpavs, the 72 thirds times two, the 141 and one-third amma, between A and B, and between B and C, so then they're all considered merged as one city. Gemara says, "Taimo de'ikah em tzoi." The reason why this works is because you have the city in the middle, B, that makes this din unique. Now here we're assuming that they're all on a straight line. And you can see this in Art Scroll footnote number 7, the arrangement that we're dealing with. You can also see this in the Pirush Chai on page 114 in diagram number 63. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 71, diagram number 211. So in this situation, only here, the Gemara is asking, do we say that you have the 70 and two-thirds amma combining with the 70 and two-thirds amma to make this 141 and one-third? Only because taimo the ikon tsoi, because there is this middle city, B. However, holeka emtsoi, the implication is, if you didn't have the middle city, then lo, we wouldn't say the 70 and two-thirds amma for the city on the left, A, and the 70 and two-thirds amma for the city on the right, C, are able to combine, as long as it's not more than 141 and one-third amma, they can combine to be one city. It's only here because you have city number B that this is allowed. But if you didn't have city number B, they wouldn't allow. Oh, this is exactly like Chiyah Barav and Tiyufta de Rav Huna. Gemara says, no. Again, Rav Huna would tell us that's incorrect. Amalach Rav Huna, Rav Huna would say, no. Ha'it mar Allah, we already asked and answered this. Amar Rabbah, Amar Rab Idi, Amar Rabbi Chanina. The Girsa that we have, if this is Rabbah in the name of Rav Idi, in the name of Rav Chanina, but on the side it tells us that there is one opinion that says this is Rava, and another opinion that says in the Ksiv Yad that this is Rav Adda. In any event, whether it was Rabbah, Rava, or Rav Adda who said this statement, in the name of Rav Chanina, he says as follows. Lo mishuloshim mamish. We're not talking about like the way we see it in footnote number 7 in the Art Scroll, or diagram 63 in the Pirush Chai, or diagram 211 in the Illustrated Gemara. We're talking actually that it's in a triangular form. And you can see this in the Art Scroll footnote number 9, or in the Illustrated Gemara on diagram 212, or in the Pirush Chai on diagram number 64. And this is in a triangular form. Lo mishulosh and mamish, they're not in a straight row. Ella rowin kol she'ilu meitil emtsoi beineim. It's in a triangle, with B being at the point of the triangle, with A and C being the bases left and right of the triangle, as all of these diagrams illustrate. And therefore, we view in halacha as if middle city B at the top of the triangle is pushed down into a flat plane with A and C. Ella rowin kol she'ilu meitil emtsoi beineim. If we were to halachically imagine that city B was now in between A and C. They would be in a row. The ein bein zeh lezeh el kuf mem amah v'yachas u'shlish. And now, if A and C, once you placed halachically, you've imagined that city B is now in between A and C, and then the only space is left is 72/3 amma between A and this imaginary city B placed there, and the space between imaginary city B, there's a real city B all the way to the top of the triangle, but we've imagined it down to the middle. And now if the space between B and C is less than 72/3 amma, then also emtsoi eshlosh to lios echad, then we view halachically as all three cities being halachically one city. And in this situation alone, do we consider them as if it is all one big city. And therefore, now this is exactly what Rav Huna explained. But we have a problem. Amli Rava li Abaye. Rava says to Abaye, wait a second. How much is there allowed to be between the two outer cities, between A and C? Even though you're putting B in there, how much apart can they be? Can they be miles apart? So that's what Rava asked Abaye. And Amalei, Abaye said to him, no, they can't be more than Alpayim Amma. They can't be more than 2,000 Amma apart. But the Gemara says, wait a second, if that's true, you said in yesterday's shiur when we had the bow, for Atu the Amis, we had the city in the shape of a bow, you yourself, Abaye, said, Kavose de Rava Berei de Rabba Barafuna Mistabra. When we had a question, does the bow to the yeser, from the inner part of the bow until the yeser, to the bow string, the imaginary line that we drew from the two ends of the bow across, so we said, is there any maximal distance that you're allowed to have between the middle point of the bow all the way out to the end of the bow string? So in that situation, we had a machlokas. One opinion said it can't be more than 2,000 amma, and the other opinion said it could even be more than 2,000 amma, as long as the two ends are within 4,000 amma of each other, if you remember from yesterday's shiur. So you yourself, Abaye, was the one that said that the opinion that kavasi de rova berei de rafuna, the rabba by Rav Huna mistabra, that even if it's more than 2,000 amma, you weren't bothered by it. So over here, why are you saying that they're not allowed to be more than 2,000 amma between them? So where it says, what are you talking about? One has nothing to do with the other. Hachi hashta, Abaye says, hasam ikabatim. There, when you're dealing with the bow, so we have the city, so to say, filling in all the places of the bow, where the open part of the bow is. But here, there are no cities filling it in other than city B, other than the middle city. And therefore now, you move the entire city B. Halachically, we imagine that it's between A and C. So now, in the case of the bow, there were imaginary houses that we filled in. Here, we just have the city. And therefore, if it's more than 2,000 amas away, you can't move that city over. There are no imaginary houses that we fill in like we did with the bow. So therefore, it's not a stira that he held like the opinion of Rava Brei de Rabba Barav Huna in yesterday's shiur with the bow, and here he seems to say, no, it must be within 2,000 amma. The two aren't comparable. Now the Gemara says, another thing that Rava said to Abaye, Kama yehei bein chitzon lechitzon. Is there any distance that you have between A and C? Is there any maximal distance beyond that that you can't combine A and C when you insert B in between? So Abaye says, why? What difference do you make? Kama yehei? Why do you care? My nafka lamina, it doesn't make any difference. The entire city B, whether it's 100 amma, 200 amma, 5,000 amma, 20,000 amma, what difference does it make? B is being inserted between A and C. Kol kishilu maknis emsoi b'neim, if B fits in between A and C, that there's now only between A and B less than 141 and a third amma, and between B and C that's less than 141 and a third amma, it's perfectly good. Vein bein zeh lezeh, elameh v'yabam v'yachas shlish, it's perfectly good. What difference does it make how big B is? Furthermore, so he said, and that's true even if it's more than 4,000 amma. By the bow, we said it couldn't be more than 4,000 amma. So I'm laying in. So Abaye says, yeah, it doesn't make any difference. Here we're dealing with the city. We're not dealing with the bow situation. Gemara says, but why not? From Rav Huna, Rav said, we learned yesterday from Rav Huna, when you have the city with the shape of a bow, the two ends can't be more than 4,000 amma away for it to work. So then, modin lamina yesa, then you're allowed to go and fill in the entire area of the bow, all the way from the inner part of the bow up until the bow string, the imaginary line between the two ends of the bow. Then you can do this if they're not 4,000 amma. V'im lav, but if they in fact are more than 4,000 amma apart, we said, in lav, modin lamina keshis, you're not allowed to go all the way up to the bow string, you're only allowed to go up from the bow out until the point where it's less than 2,000 amma. But more than 2,000 amma, you can't go, and certainly can't go all the way to the bowstring. So how come here you can? If there's more than a distance of 4,000 amma between A and C, how come here you're allowing it? And again, in the case of the bowstring, you don't. So Amalei, so Abaye says to him, no, again, incorrect, Rava. Hasam lek lemei mamali. In the case of the bow, when it's more than 4,000 amma apart, you can't say it should be filled in. Tosus gives three reasons why this is not allowed to be filled in. The simple understanding is because as you're moving the houses, theoretically, from the bow itself into the area inside the bow, so then you're gaining on the bottom side, but you're losing tchum on the top side. So therefore, it's not a good thing for them. They're not going to be happy with this. And that's why you can't do this. Hacha ikalamei mamali. But here, when you're moving the city in, one of the answers of Tosis is you're not affecting the tchum of B. B is not actually moving its tchum. B will still be at the top of the triangle and be able to go 2,000 amma that way and not go from the straight line between A, B, and C, 2,000 amas further in that direction. That's one teretz of Tosos. Tosos give two other teretzim as well. Ayin Shom in the bottom Tosos, Hosom, Leko, Lememar, Mali. But again, the bottom line is, these two cases between the bow and our triangular city are not exactly the same. They're similar, but not the same. Nadi Gemara says, Amalei Rav Safra L'Rava, Rav Safra questions Rav, and he says, what about the following scenario? And if you want to see a diagram of this, you'll be able to see this in the Pirush Chai, very clearly in diagram on page 115, number 66. It makes it clear, as we'll see, you'll see what we're talking about. But you basically, if you look at that diagram now, for those that don't have it, just imagine it. You have a city to the right of the river Diglas, the Tigris, and you have a city to the left of the river Diglas. And that's what Rav Safra is asking Rava. You have these two cities, Hare Bnei Akistophon. Akistophon is a certain city that was to the right of the Diglas. The Moshlinon Le Tchuma Mehai Gisa the Ardashir. And they extended their Tchum, in other words, they made as if they were one city with the city of Ardashir that was to the left of the Diglas. Now, they combined these two cities, Akistophon and Ardashir, and they made it into one city, even though the Diglas was right in between them. And likewise, so the people who were living in Akistophon, they started their tchum to the left side, all the way from the end of not from Akistophon's end, but from Ardashir's end. And likewise, the people in Ardashir, when they went to the right, they didn't go from the end of their city, Ardashir, but they went all the way from the right, 2,000 amas, from Akistophon. Now, how could they do this? So that's what the question is. Rav Safra is asking Rava, you have these two cities, Hare Bnei Akasa, we'll say it one more time. The Mashchinon Lu Tchuma Mehai Gisa the Ardashir, and the Bnei Ardashir, Mashchinon Lu Tchuma Mehai Gisa the Akistophon. So each of them considered themselves one big city, but there's a river in between them. How could they do this? Hoika Diglas, the Masuka Yosem Emea V'Yabarim V'Yachas Ushlish. This river, the Diglas, the Tigris, was more than 141 and a third amma. So let's say you even wanted to assume that this is the Shita that we brought down, like Rav Huna, that each city is entitled to 70 and two-thirds amma. So this is more than the 141 and one-third amma. And it's a river. How are you going to get across this river and combine the two cities? So it's a good kasha. And Rav has a good answer. Nofach, Rav went out and he showed him. Achvile, he said, look, and here you see this in the diagram in the Pirush Chai on page 115, diagram number 66, that there were runes in the middle of the Diglas. Apparently, at one point in time, the Diglas was not as overflowing as it was. It actually built out from each city into the middle of the Diglas. It must have been a low tide, or it must have been a stream over there. Maybe it was diverted. In any event, now the city is overflowed. In the middle, the area is just runes that are left over there. But as we learned previously, this good gadios, these runes, count as an extension of the city if they have three walls. So Hanach Atmohosa Deshura. On the side it says this Atmosa is Urechos, the thighs of a choma. In other words, remnants of a wall still exist in the middle of the Diglas. Hanach Atmohosa Deshura. Dimivloi Bidiglas be Ayin Ama Vishiraim. And the Diglas was not that wide over here. According to the simple understanding, it was only 72/3 Ama wide. That would be very consistent with the Shita of Chiya Barab, or you could even say that it's consistent with the Shita of Rav Huna, and says that it was 72/3 Amma till these Atmosa, and then you had another 72 thirds on the other side. So it could be like the sheet of Rav Huna as well. So you can't bring me a raya to either Chiyav Rav or Rav Huna from here. In any event, this middle ground connected the two cities. This Atmosa connected the two sides, Akistophon and Ardashir, and made them into one city. And that's why they're viewed in Halacha, because of this Karpav, which is the Diglas, because of the Atmosa, it's considered a Karpav between these two cities. Now we go weiter, the next Mishnah. Now we start learning how to go and actually measure the Tchum. Until now we've been talking about 2,000 Amma, 2,000 Amma. Here we're going to start learning how to actually measure the 2,000 Ammas of a Tchum. So the Mishnah tells us, Ein Modedin, you're not allowed to go and measure this Tchum, except, we already had this previously, we alluded to it, Ela Bechevel Shel Nun Amma. You have to use a rope that is 50 Amma. As we'll see, this will be a perfect length to go and measure. You'll do this 40 times to measure your 2,000 Amma. And the 50 Amma rope is perfect. Lo pachos v'lo yoser. You can't use a smaller rope or a larger rope. As the Gemara will explain, if you use a smaller rope, you're going to pull it too taut, and you're going to go and have a slightly larger distance. If you use a larger rope, it's going to have a little bit too much slack, and you're going to end up having a smaller distance. Chazal estimated that if you use a 50 Amma rope, that's the best measure to be inexact. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, "V'lo yimdod ela keneged libo." You measure this at the chest area, or the heart area. And this is to make sure that you're constantly using a level across that's the same. Now, obviously, some people are a little bit taller, a little bit shorter, but most people are roughly the same height. If you measure it from roughly the heart of each person, when you're measuring the 50 Amma, you do that 40 times, you'll have a straight line of 2,000 Amma. Mishnah continues and says, they were measuring the Tchum, and they reached either a valley, or they reached O Legoder, or to a fence. Now this fence is a broken fence, and Rashi says, Chomas Avonim Shenoflo. It's a fence of stone that fell down. Vinasa Gal, and it's turned into a mound or a pile of stones, Gavoa, that's somewhat elevated, Umeshufa, but it's on a slant, it's on an incline, Ubnei Odom Halkanulav, and it's not such a pile that you can't get through it. It's basically rubble, and you walk up it, but it's on an incline. Now, if you're walking on an incline and measuring up, you're going to take into account the vertical component of the incline, not only the horizontal component of the incline. So that's what the concern is here in the Mishnah. So when you reach an area of a valley, which would be taking into account the incline down, or a heap of stones, which you'd have to take into account the incline up, consider this like if you have a right triangle, if you're measuring the right angle on the side of the right angles, or you're measuring the hypotenuse. Hypotenuse is longer by the square root of 2, as we've already pointed out. So therefore, in this situation, you would not want to measure the hypotenuse, you'd want to measure the flat base of your right triangle. In any event, in this situation, mavlio, if it's small enough, in other words, if this rubble is less than 50 amma along the incline, or this valley is less than 50 amma, so what you do is, and you can see this nicely in pictures in the art scroll in footnote number 23, or you can see this as well in the Pirush Chai in page 115, figure number 67, or in the Illustrated Gemara in page 71, figure number 213. In all of these situations, you basically bypass the area that is a valley or the area that's a mound. And it's as if it's not there. You don't have to measure the incline at all. And then, mavlio, you swallow it up. In other words, you ignore the incline. You go either over it or above it. As you can see, whether it's a valley, you're going over it. And if it's a mound, so then you, Rashi says, you stick some sort of a pole up above the mound of stone, and then you have the straight line, the rope, the 50 amma rope, above it to the other person who has it on a pole as well. And in this situation, you're going above the mound, and in these situations, you're ignoring the incline down or the incline up. And then, the more we'll explain what it's teaching us over here, you return back to your spot. And we'll see this is talking about if you don't have a straight line. If the area that you're going to bypass, if you're going to go over it, is, let's say, right where you are, it's 100 amma. But in another place, a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, it's only 50 amma or less. So then you're allowed to move and go over that incline, go over that valley at a different point, and then return back to your point. You return back to your point. Higia lahar, if you reach a mountain, mavlio, the same thing applies if you reach a mountain and you go back to the point where you were. Now, why is a mountain different than stones? So, Tosos, at the very top of Nunches Amud Aleph, we turn to Nunches Amud Aleph, he tells us, in Dibur HaMaskil, that Higia Lahar Mavliyo, this is the fourth one down, and it says on the side, this is really from the Mishnah, the first three are going to be from the Gemara, so this is out of place. So it says, Vim Tomar Mailo Kayaluhu Bahadi Adode Higia Lahar Oli Goder Mavliyo, why isn't this lumped in with the pile of stones? It's the exact same thing. And Tosafot says, yeah, Tak, it is. Mishum Seifa, but we need that for later on. The Tani Shamati Shemekadrin Bahorim, because there'll be a special din that we have in regards to mountains that we don't have normally in terms of a pile of stone, because a pile of stones is not going to be that big. So that's why it's listed separately, but it's the exact same din. If you reach a mountain and you can go over it, so you do it in the same way. So if you can't go over it, so then you have special dinim called Makadrin, which we'll learn about in a moment. Now we turn to the Omer Aleph, Nunches Omer Aleph, Ubavach lo yetze chutz l'tchum, but you're not allowed to go outside the tchum. When we said that you go to the left, as Rashi says, Shem hayirachvo shogai kinegar ir, yotzi chutz l'tchum. V'zeholach v'vlio shalo kinegar ir, umodeid misvaso ulahalon, lo yimdod elo ad kidei hashlomas hatchumim. And you can see a diagram of this in Art Scroll in footnote number one, and you can see this as well in the Pirush Chai, on page 116 and in diagram number 71. In the Illustrated Gemara, it's on page 72 in diagram number 214. Again, people have different Gemaras or different Svarim here. I want to make sure everybody has a picture of it. These pictures are worth 1,000 words. So it tells us over here that if you are in a situation where if you went straight, the valley that you'd be going over is more than 50 amma, and you're only allowed to use a 50 amma rope, so then you can turn to the left or to the right where the valley is narrower. And as long as we'll see in the Gemara, that you don't go beyond the tchum, shelo yadze chutz l'tchum, you're not going out more than 2,000 ammas beyond your tchum, to the left or to the right, so then you go to the spot where it's narrower, you go over at that point with the 50 amma rope, and then you return back to the spot where you are. The Gemara will explain the reason why you can't go outside the tchum is because if you go that much to the left or to the right, it's going to mistakenly think the people that you're allowed to go and either measure it in a different way, you're allowed to measure with more than a 50 amma rope, or that you're allowed to go beyond the tchum, because as long as you're measuring to get to a smaller than 50 amma area, it's still considered within tchum, so there's potential takala over here, and therefore we don't allow this. Then the Mishnah tells us, in any ochol avliyo, if you can't do it in this way, so bezu, in this situation, where there's, let's say, within the tchum, to the left or to the right, there is no place where the valley is less than 50 amma, and you won't be able to go and be mavliyo, to go over it, so then in this situation, bezu, Rashi says over here, bezu means, because this is a din derabbanan, as opposed to, Rashi says, lemute ori mikla, when you're measuring the ori mikla, and Egla Rufa, which is the closest city to Nebuch where the person died, you have to measure which is the closest city. So there, you can't use this Makadrin method that we're about to use. It's only Midrabanan that you're allowed to use this Makadrin method, which we'll explain momentarily. So Bizu, only in this Din Durabanan of Tum, did Amar Rabbi Dostoy, Bar Yana, Mishum Rav Meir say, Shamati Shemakadrin Baharim, that you're allowed to use this Makadrin process. What is this Makadrin process? So you can see this in the diagram associated with footnote number 4. Or you can see this with the Perush Chai in diagram number, page 118, in diagram number 75. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 215 on page 72. And what it basically means is, if you want to negate as much as possible the incline, the slope either up or the slope going down, what you do is you have one person hold it by his chest and the other person hold it by his feet. And this way you're making basically only X-axis, only horizontal component, and you're removing essentially any Y component, any vertical component when you're measuring. Now here you're not going to use a 50 amma rope. Here you can use much smaller ropes, and the Gemara will discuss this in more detail. But you're dealing over here with a much smaller rope than the 50 amma rope that we're doing. That's our Mishnah. Again, we want to catch up for the upcoming Sukkot, so we'll continue doing the rest of Amud Aleph, Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So we start off with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Minohani Mili, where do we get this idea of a 50 amma rope? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, again, it's an asmachta because this is a din derabbanan according to most poskim. The Amar Kor, it's based upon the pasuk where it tells us by the chotzer of the Mishkan, it says, Orech HaChotzer Meyab Amma, the length of the Mishkan was 100 amma, and Verochav Chamishim, it should have just said the width is 50 amma, it was 100 by 50, but it says Chamishim Bachamishim. It says 50 by 50. What do you mean 50 by 50? It's 100 by 50. So why is this extra Chamishim Bachamishim? So Amar Torah, measure it, when you're going to measure, use a 50 amma rope. But Gemara says, we needed that to teach us the hodin of Karpaf. We needed that to teach us that when you have the 100 by 50 chotzer of the Mishkan, that's to make it into a 5,000 square amma
square. And then when you square it, you're going to have a 72-thirds and 72-thirds. We needed that to teach us the din of Karpov. So how can you tell me it teaches us both of these dinim? I have a question on this myself, which I'm not sure is really discussed by the poskim. It's all an asmachta. If you're saying an asmachta, why can't you learn out more than one thing from an asmachta? But given the fact that it seems to want to follow the general rules that you can only learn out one thing, and they don't want to learn out two things asmachta, so the Gemara says, no, here there's an extra word and an extra letter. It's not just chamishim, chamishim. If you wanted to just teach us the din that you square off the 5,000 square amos into a square, and therefore 72-thirds by 72-thirds, hi, my boy, leilito chamishim lasabi chamishim. That's what it is. In kein le'makra, chamishim, chamishim. It should have just said, Rochab Chamishim Chamishim. And that would have been enough to teach me that it's 72-thirds by 72-thirds Amma. Why does it say Chamishim Bachamishim? My Chamishim Bachamishim? Oh, Shamas Mino Tarti. That's to teach me the second rule that the Asmacht is to a 50 Amma rope. Now the Mishnah said, Lo Pachas Leoser. You now use a rope that's either shorter than 50 Amma or longer than 50 Amma. Why not? So I already alluded to this. Tana, Lo Pachos, you can't use a rope that is less than 50 Amma, because you're able to pull a rope that is smaller than 50 Amma very, very tight, and you'll gain a couple of millimeters, a couple of centimeters for every measuring. So if you have a 25 Amma rope, so it's really going to be pulled tight. It's going to be 25.1 Amma, as opposed to a 50 Amma rope. So even if it's pulling a little bit tight, it's going to be much less pull tight because it's a large rope. So it's going to get that 0.1 extra is going to be 0.001. And therefore, you're going to have an accurate 2,000 amma measurement by using a 50 amma rope. But if you use, instead of 40, 50 amma ropes, if you use 80, 25 amma ropes, you're actually going to gain a couple of extra meters over the entire route because you can pull it very tight. You can stretch it a little bit more. Below Yosher, don't use a 100 amma rope. 100 amma rope. Instead of using 40, 50 amma ropes, use 20-100 amma ropes, mimeshim might, because you can't pull it tight enough, and therefore it's going to have slack in it, and that slack is going to mean that you're not going to measure 2,000 amma, you're only going to measure 1,990 amma, or something like that, and therefore we want you to use exactly a 50 amma rope, which is the best. You can keep it nice and tight without being too tight, and it doesn't get too loose. Then Gemara says, Amar Ravasi, a modinela bechevel shel af sakima, yet you're not allowed to use any type of rope that's made up of anything except af sakima. What is this af sakima? My af sakima. So Rabbi Abba says that this is something called nargila. Huh, that doesn't help us that much. Or it says, my nargila. What's nargila? So Rabbi Yaakov, he says it's dikla, it's a palm tree, dechad nevora, that has a single strand of growth around it, and this growth is what you make the rope out of. Okay, so according to this version, version number one, the nargila is the same thing as dikla dechad nevora. Fine. According to version number two, it's two separate things. Ika di Amre, when we asked, my afsakima, so we had two answers to it, not one answer that was then explained. The first answer was, Rabbi Abba Amar, it's this nargila. And they all knew what nargila was. And the second answer is, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, it's something called dikla dechad nevara. So nargila and dikla dechad nevara, according to the second teretz, are two different things. According to the first teretz, they're the exact same thing, and one was just used to explain the other. They didn't know what nargila was, so they have to use another term to explain it. Tanya, we learned in the following right. So Amar Rishu ben Chananya. Rishu ben Chananya said, "Ein lechoshi yofel imedida yoser mishal shalos shel barzel." Said, "What are you worrying about here? The ropes that maybe will be too tight, it'll be too slack. Use metal. Metal doesn't stretch and it doesn't slack." So he says, "Take chains of iron, and this would be the best way to measure. You'll have an exact measurement. It doesn't get smaller or longer by pulling it." Havel, he said, Rabbi Yeshua Mechanani said, Ma'ana said, what can I do? Shari Armor Torah, because we have this allusion in Psukim in the Torah. It's actually not in the Torah. We'll see it's either from Navi, either from Yecheskel, or we'll see another opinion is it's from Zechariah, but it's from Navi. And this Pasuk that we have, Ubi Yado Chevel Mida. It says that you should use a Chevel. The top toast says over here, according to Rashi, it's Mishkan Shal Yecheskel. This is a reference to, in the end of Yecheskel, he talks about the third Beis HaMikdash, so there it uses measurements over there with this rope. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, he brings down, this is a pasuk to how B'Sef Zechariah. It says, Aval Ubiyad Ha'ish Kona Hamida. That's the pasuk in Yecheskel, and this pasuk is actually from Zechariah. Whichever pasuk it is, this is the source for it being a rope and not using metal, not using Shal Shalos, Shal Barzo. Ayin Gemara says, Voksiv ubiyado ish kinei hamida, but it says by Yecheskel that you measure the certain things with kinei hamida, with a stick. In other words, that you should use a stick and not rope. So Gemara says, no, ha'ulitare. That is specifically dealing with the gates. The Tare, the Shari, the Shin and the Tuf are interchangeable, so that's dealing with the Sharim. The gates are measured with the stick. But the distance is measured, longer distances are measured with the rope, and therefore Rav Shmuel Chanani says, what can I do? I would have picked metal, but the Nach is an allusion here to measuring with a rope. Mori now says, Tony Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Shlosha Chavolim Heim. There are three types of ropes that we find in Halacha. And now this is going to go against what Rav Asi said, that we use the Asakima rope. His is going to say that we measure the Tchum with a different type of rope. So Tony Rav Yosef says, there are three types of ropes. Shlosha Chavolim Heim. Shel Margog, on the side it brings down that this is Min Gemi, some sort of a reed. And Shel Netzer, the next one is some sort of an Arava. Netzer is an Arava. The Shel Pishta, and the third type of rope that we use, is made out of Pishta, made out of linen. Now, what do you use in each for? Shel Magog, the one that is made out of this reed, that's used for the Paraduma. Shel Magog, the Para. When you have to tie down the Paraduma, so you use Bedavka, this rope that's made out of reeds. Why is that? It's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Para that when you're going to tie down the rope, so Kavsua, they would go and tie the para down, bechevel hamogog. They would use a rope that's made out of the reeds because it's not makabel tuma. Unisanua agabe marachta. And then they would throw the rope in and burn it with the animal on the fire. And in this way, they would have no problems with tuma and tara because we went out of our way, because we went one kula to Hotzi Miliba Shel Tzdukim. The Tzdukim said that a tful yom can't do this. So the rabbi said, we will dafka be metame the kohen doing the paraduma, and then have him go to the mikvah to show the din is that a tful yom is able to do the paraduma process. But since they were making it this way, they were so machmir in every other way, so they didn't even want to use a rope that could even be makabel tuma. And that's why they used this rope of margog, this reed rope, which can't be makabel tuma. That's the first type of rope. Second type of rope, shel nitzarim, and that's used lusota. This rope that's made out of the arabos was used for the sota. What is that? That's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Sota, where it tells us that Rachman al-Sah, when a woman is a Sota, and she's begets to drink the Mayim Hamarim, so va'achakach, as she's before she's about to drink it, we would manavel her. We would take off her kerchief, or covering up her hair, and we would loosen her dress, but we didn't want her dress to fall down, so maybe we would bring Chevel HaMitzri, we'd bring this rope that's made out of these Aravos, the Koshro L'malami Dadel, we would tie it up above her bosom, and this way, so when they undid the top part of her dress from her shoulders so it would fall down, but it wouldn't fall down totally, and it would keep her chest covered. So therefore, they use this type of a rope for that. And the third type of rope that Rav Yosef brings down from the Braisa is Shel Pishton. They used a linen rope where? Lemedida, for Tchumim. So how can you tell me we use the Afsakima? As Rav Asi said, here you see that we use Pishton. So therefore, Rav Yosef disagrees with Rav Asi. Then we quote the Mishnah, Hayamodeid V'Yigia. He said in the Mishnah, if you went and you measured it and you reached the valley and you couldn't go straight across the valley because it was more than 50 yamas, so you could go to the left or to the right and go across. Now, the Gemara says, we already alluded to in the Mishnah, Midatani Chozil Midasa. We said that when you go to the left or the right and you go across where it's less than 50 yamas, then you return back to your original position. So you're going in a straight line, albeit you crossed this valley. Miklal Din Eino Yochel Avliyo, if you're not able to go to a point that's right across, there's no place that it's less than 50 amma right across from you, so then, holech lemokim shochel avlio, as long as you're in the tchum going left or right, you go to a place where you can cross it with 50 amma, and mavlio, you swallow it up, and then you go across it, and then, v'tzofeh kenegin midoso, and you go back to your original straight line, you want to make a straight line of 2,000 amma, so you went a little bit to the left, let's say you go 100 amma to the left, you cross it where it's less than 50 amma, and then you return 100 amma back to your right, so you're now going in a straight line, after you're across the valley, v'tzofa keneged midaso v'chose, you return back to your place. Machlok is in the poskim, as do you now count that as 50 amma, even though it's more than 50 amma, or do you count it as a larger amount? So we'll learn it nice and simple. Did you count that space that you cross as just being 50 amma? Now, the Gemara says, this Mishnah that we have is Tinin Elohad Tana Rabbanan. It aligns with what we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Beferish, Hayamodeid V'Yigia Hamida L'Gai, if you're measuring and you reach a valley. So the Braisa says a little bit more than the Mishnah said. We learned the Mishnah this way, but the Braisa says it Beferish. Im Yochel Avliyo Bechevel Shechamishim Amma Mavliyo. If you can go across the valley right where you are, it's less than 50 amma, so you station the person on the other side, you stretch the rope of 50 amma across the valley, and then you just keep on counting and to get to your 2,000 amma. But if you can't do it over here, you turn to the left or to the right to a place where it narrows to less than 50 amma and mavlio, then you go across it, and then and you return back to your original spot. Imhoya Gaim Ukam. But if the valley turns, it goes at a right angle. And you can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 27 in the diagram over there. Or you can see this in the Pirush Chai in page 119 in diagram number 76, that the valley curves around. Then in this situation, you can't go and just go around the right angle bend and measure it over there and then return back to your original place. Here, you don't have a choice. Machter viole, machter viored. You have to go up and down in the way that we mentioned previously, this machdirim, this penetrating, so to say, by having one person hold the smaller rope at his chest, the other person up the incline or down the incline will hold by his feet, etc. And in this way, you're allowed to go and measure across the valley, but you don't go to the point where the valley is on a right angle, on a different orientation, to go across it at a smaller than 50 amma place. Likewise, Higila Kosel, if you reach the wall, now this is different than the pile of stones that we had before. The pile of stones are easy to get across. The wall is not easy to get across. This wall is still in existence. So then we don't say take a very long pole and go over the wall and measure the rope over the wall. We don't do it in that way. We just estimate how thick the wall is and you go around it. And so let's say you estimate the wall is two amma thick, and that's all you have to do. And in this situation, you then cross the wall and add two amas to your total calculation. So the Gemara asks, "Va'anantan in our Mishnah, we said when we were dealing with the fence that fell down, mavliyo v'chozel midaso. So we said you go across it and you mavliya it. Why don't we do the mavliyo over here by the wall? So as I already pointed out, hasam in the case of the rubble, the wall that fell down, hasam nicha tash mishta. It's easy to go across it because it's fallen down. Here, hacha lo nicha tashmishta. It's not easy to go across a wall that's in existence, so therefore we can just estimate it. We don't make you take a very long pole and go over this wall. Now we'll just conclude the shiur today with Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, the following statement. Lo shanu, that which we said that you do the mekadrin, we only said that Elo she'ein chut hamishkoles yored kinegdo. That is only if it's not a straight line down. This is a plumb line. A plumb line is something that a builder uses to make sure that something is perfectly straight. He drops a piece of heavy lead down a string, and it's going to go straight down. And therefore, if it's straight down and it touches the bottom, so then this is too steep an incline to do the mekadrin process. However, avochut hamishkolish, return to the Amud Beis, if you're dealing over here with something that you can drop a plumb line down, so then you just go straight down, yored kinegdo, you ignore the incline totally, and modedo medida yofa. You get to the bottom, and you ignore any of the slight incline of the wall, because it's a very slight incline, and you just go down to the bottom, and you measure from there. And you can see this in the art scroll diagram associated with footnote number 35, and you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 73, diagram number 217. And in the Pirush Chai on page 120 in diagram number 81. And by the way, if you want to see the concepts of the wall, that we said it's harder to go through it, and just do the mekadrin process, the estimation process, you can see what that looks like on page 119 in the Pirush Chai in diagrams number 77 and number 78. With this, we conclude today's shiur.